At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show. It is January 9th, 2025. As always, the one and only Cresta Star joins me on the road to Genesis. How you doing, Cresta?
I'm doing well. Genesis card is shaping up. I am quite excited. I'm a little sad because I feel like this is going to be the end for some people, like we've been discussing. But, you know, hopefully, new story start up after Genesis and we get some interesting things. Interesting, like PCO unearthing himself and Death Meat.
Yeah, we'll talk about why that's a very interesting situation now. How about we'll get to that? There's plenty to discuss from the PCO side of things. There are things that you don't know yet that are out there, but I know that you haven't seen yet. Anyway, plenty to talk about. Tonight, we're one more episode away from TNA Genesis. That's going to air next week. We will be live after Genesis, which is the Sunday, the 19th, if I'm not mistaken. They're running a Sunday pay-per-view? What's wrong with this company?
Oh, honestly, I live because it doesn't conflict with anything else and I could watch SmackDown. I've been lacking in my wrestling in December because everyone's away and I wasn't feeling it. And now I'm rejuvenated. So I'm not going to hold you. It sucks because it makes the weekend very long. However, I would take a Sunday pay-per-view.
Wish it had been Saturday. Should have been the 18th. But anyway, Steven Jensen, Cresta Star, and I, we will be here live after Genesis to discuss everything that happens. That's right. Steven Jensen didn't decide. He was told the GCW show is not as important as you like to think it is. I'm sorry, brother.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to make it Saturday anyway. I'm going to a Final Fantasy orchestra. I'm going to go be a nerd in public.
Boy, you really are. Good for you.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't know why I wanted to put that in there, but I did.
Well, no, it's because other people were like, oh, what about the Collision review? Had it been on the Saturday? And I just love it. You're like, no, completely something else.
Yeah, I'm not going to be there, pal. Sorry.
That's fine. Well, you know what? You're here now, so why don't you leave a thumbs up on the video. If you're listening to us in the audio realm, drop 5 stars. Would you let them know that we are the place where you come for your hot wrestling takes and just analysis, because that's what we do here. And of course, you can subscribe to Fightful Select, the best $5, soon to be $6. In the business, the end of January brings a change. Our base tier will go from $5 a month to $6 a month. But if you want to lock in now at a lower rate, you can lock in $54 for the year. And that'll take you through this calendar year. And then whatever you do afterwards. If you're on a higher tier, those aren't changing. Just the $5 becomes $6. Everything's cool. So are you. You can subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. That's always good. Lots of new content coming your way, not just post shows. We're working on some wrestling history stuff, some other hot take review type content here on the channel. So go keep your eyes peeled for that. And of course, over on Fightful Select, you'll get plenty of news, contract news, Malachi Black news, Sour Graps, the Weekender podcast with Steven Jensen, the aforementioned co-host of the Genesis post show, and of course, Sean's Q&A. Cresta, of course, will tell you about the Humper Chat situation. Right meow.
Right now, you're going to take your fingers or your thumb on your mobile device or your keyboard and go to humperchats.com. Yes, HUMPERCHATS.com. There you can put your dollar amount, any dollar amount, and your comment. Joel and myself will read, respond, and give you our 2 cents that'll equal a dollar. And speaking of which, we get to keep more of the dollar amount that you put in humperchats.com. It makes us happy, Fightful happy. And guess what? Sean pays us, so it keeps us paid. Don't you want to pay us? Don't you want to help? Humperchats.com. Do it.
Don't you really want to pay us?
Don't you really want to make us smile?
Nice.
That's all I got.
No, that's good enough. And also, you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. YouTube just takes more of it. But if it's easier for you, do whatever works. Let's talk about TNA Impact. This was a solid show. It was a wrestling heavy show. A lot of official announcements for TNA Genesis, which I appreciate. Now the card is shaping up. There are some misunderstandings have been rectified, and we'll talk about those as we get through the night. But overall, what do you think of TNA for tonight?
It was pretty solid. I thought it was a lot of talking, but now that I'm looking at mine, I was like, oh, there was quite a bit of wrestling now that you've said something. I really do appreciate sometimes that TNA throwbacks, and this week I thought was very apt considering what's going on in AEW. So I see you. You're smart.
I skip past the TNA Plus things.
It was Jeff Jarrett versus Kurt Angle with a six-sided ring. I think it was Genesis 2000 something or the other. Not quite sure. I want to say six.
That would have been 2005? Because 06 was Angle and Joe.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I wasn't watching TNA then, but they played that throwback. And I was like, okay, I see you. This is not the first time TNA has done that. They've done something similar. I forgot who else. And they had a throwback and they were doing something in AEW. So I see you, TNA.
That was fine. Anyway, I didn't watch the throwback. I feel like it's just their way of being like, hey, we don't know what to do. Dex is saying 2009. Maybe it was. I don't know. Chat, if you figure it out, if you Google it, sure, whatever. I'm at that point in my night where I'm just like, whatever you tell me, I will read from the teleprompter.
And I'm Joel Pearl.
Damn it, I've told you 100 times. If you put it on the prompter, he will read it. Show opens up with Eric Young, Jonathan Gresham, and Steve Maclin defeating the system. It's a team of Edward Edwards, Brian Myers, and JDC. It's a solid, quick 6-man opening contest. Maclin hits Caught in the Crosshairs and the KIA on JDC for the win. Really, the post-match is the big deal. Is there anything you want to talk about in the match before we talk about the post-match and then stuff that comes up a little bit later in the show?
All I have is compliments for the system. Licious dress tonight, 10 out of 10, would recommend. And the system is really great at isolating people when they do the tag team matches. It's top-tier tag work. Those are my only two notes, because before I turned around, the KIA was out and it was over.
Yeah, it was a quick, efficient match. Got it, whatever they needed to do, they got it done. I do appreciate that they put the focus on Maclin. They put the focus on Maclin and EY, and then Jonathan Gresham was there basically to get written off, because after the match, the system beat down all three men, and then Gresham gets the worst of it, gets the chair wrapped around his neck and then sent into the ring post. And then later on, Maclin and Eric Young are just like, all right, well, you heated up that whole thing. You tried to end Gresham's career. EY calls it a declaration of war. And then First Class come in and they laugh and they cry. And then they basically make a match between EY, Maclin, and First Class for next week. So there you go. First Class want tag team gold. Maclin and Eric Young look like a good option for a tag team trying to climb the ranks of TNA. What do you think of those two teams not only squaring off, but also their potential work in the tag division?
RIP Gresham, you didn't ask for any of this. You're the main guy just trying to fight and get this over and done with, and you're the sacrificial lamb. So rest in peace, Gresham. We barely knew ye. Also, did they call themselves the Renegades?
So I think that is where they're headed for a tag team name. They did reference that. That's what Eric Young called them. Mm-hmm. They didn't officially name their team that. At least TNA hasn't officially named them that.
So, I mean, I don't mind seeing Eric Young and Steve Maclin beat up First Class, but also, I feel like not 4 months ago, Maclin and Eric Young were like, I don't want to do tag teams. I'm tired of being in the tag team. I'm over this tag team situation. I understand now we have a common goal and a common enemy in the system, but I mean, I guess I'll take it, but I guess that's my only complaint. That's my only complaint. But I don't mind them as a tag team. They do have great chemistry. And I think right now a tag team shakeup wouldn't be bad in both the knockouts and the men's division.
It does change things up, which I appreciate, because this is a TNA that's in need of a few extra tag teams and a thrown together tag team that does well, especially with two stars. Again, we talk about Maclin and EY being very similar, but very different. Also two different vintages. EY has been around forever since the start of TNA, and Maclin has been the up and comer he's established, but he's been the one of the hearts of TNA for the last, you know, 3-4 years. So for them to work together, it makes sense. And for them to go after tag team gold, honestly, it's something that breaks them out of going after the world title. That's already bogged down with plenty of talent that are going after, and it'll change as new champions emerge and as babyface and heel alignments kind of change up. So I don't hate it. It just, I think you're right that them saying like, well, we don't need to team up. And then they're like, well, we got to team up because they kind of try to kill Jonathan Gresham.
I mean, again, if anything, I feel bad. Jonathan Gresham's like, I'm just here to wrestle. And what happens in TNA? You die.
They haven't ended him yet. They've merely knocked him out. They did the Ricochet finish. He's out indefinitely. They haven't announced it yet, but
he's going to come back as an octopus again.
I swear to God, that's the one story. I just wish they hadn't dropped out of nowhere. It was so good. It was doing stuff. It was doing good stuff. I liked it.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty fun. I was like, what's happening here? And he forgot, just like Tony Storm.
You're going to have Jonathan Gresham show up in a few weeks on TNA and go, aha! Sorry, that's a
stop. Bald people are up. Bald people are up. This is the year of the bald, man.
You had the crowd cheering. What were they cheering at Josh Alexander at the end of the match? They were chanting something at him. Hold on, I have it in my notes. Oh, they're chanting bald ass head. Bald ass head. Bald ass head.
When I went to Hammerstein for the Ring of Honor and the AEW, all you kept hearing was chants. Every time someone bald, except for Claudio Castagnoli specifically, you just heard bald, bald. So I expect 2025 is the year of the bald. And if we hear one, you know. Well, who else is bald in TNA if Gresham's gone?
EY.
Oh, yeah.
AJ Francis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If we're lucky, Joe Hendry gets his head shaved.
Don't do that.
Why not, coward?
I am a coward. You know me. I told you I would take the pin. Stop.
Joe Hendry has an interview that I thought was actually pretty well done, talking about how he came to wrestling and how he developed his character based on watching the popular guys come out to popular music and the crowd liking their popularity was effectively what he said. He talked about his wrestling background, his judo background, how his TNA fandom was watching the wrestling channel in the UK, which I was like, what channel was that? Like, what? There's no, it wasn't Pluto TV back in 2006. So I don't know what he was watching that was the wrestling channel. Cause like,
it was a UK exclusive.
Like, ITW is the main, sorry, what am I thinking of? It's like their, for Canadians, it's like their CBC. It's like their network broadcaster. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like their public broadcaster. That's ITW, not to be confused with In the Weeds. But then there's also the like Sky Sports, which had WWF programming back in the 90s. And that was a paper channel. So like, where the fuck was he watching this stuff? And then TNA aired in the UK. I don't remember where it aired in the UK, but I just found it funny that Hendry was just like, it showed all the wrestling shows. Why is he Drew McIntyre? Anyway, he said it showed all the wrestling shows. And he talked about having an iPod video. And I was like, I had one too, Joe. I had one too. And he said the only video he ever put on it was the match between Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle at Genesis 2006 and how that relates to, you know, his match coming up at Genesis for the world championship against Nick Nemeth and how important that is to him. My main question to you, Cresta, is what video did you put on your video iPod?
Bold of you to assume I had a video iPod.
Did you?
No. I had the big iPod, like one of the first or second generation. No, I had a Zune first and then I had an iPod. And that was it. I'm trying to think of anything else I had. After that, I was kind of just on the phone, or I wait till I got home and played Pandora. Or what was the other one that used to be able to get skins for? WinFX? No. Oh my God. Winamp. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, love God. Winamp.
We're old.
You know what I had on my old iPod video?
What?
Seasons 1 through 4 of House.
You know, I've never got into House because every time I begin to like it, I'm like, wait, you're kind of just an asshole with a crutch and you're smart. But then I'm like, that's Rick and Morty. And I like Rick and Morty.
It's Sherlock Holmes, too.
Dang.
Yeah, if you didn't know already, I just blew your mind.
I mean, I only seen the Sherlock Holmes or Robert Downey Jr., but I feel like almost every Robert Downey Jr., he's some smart, smug guy as Robert Downey Jr.
You didn't watch the one where Lucy Liu played Holmes? No. Not Holmes. Was it Holmes? Oh, damn it. That's going to bug me forever.
Joel, I'm going to be real with you. All I watch is wrestling and RuPaul's Drag Race because of the same show, just at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Elementary was the show I was thinking of.
Never seen it.
Anyway, Lucy Liu plays the sidekick.
That's interesting. Yeah, I wanted to say I'd watch it, but I'm a liar.
They wanted to put it on his head a little bit. She was Watson. She was Joan Watson.
Watson then, was always sick of his shit.
Yeah. And then Johnny Lee Miller was Holmes.
I don't even know who that is.
Some British guy.
Chip. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, also bald.
Bald. 2025, bald. Yo, should I go Kurt Angle every time on the show, like a different Halloween, just bald?
You could if you want.
That's a lot of work.
Dude has a kickboxing record of 1-0.
Retire the champ. Smart.
Retire the champ. This rules. Anyway, come for TNA, stay for the weird Sherlock Holmes conversation.
It's a good time down here, clowns.
Someone in the TNA office is just like, what the fuck is happening right now?
We're having a good time. This is a great segue because TNA is just as theatrical as Sherlock Holmes. Next segment.
Well, it was better than mine. Speaking of Lucy Liu, Lei Ying Li defeats Savannah Evans. I couldn't do it, you see, so I changed it around. Lei Ying Li comes back. She defeats Savannah Evans. Zaya Brookside was supposed to face Savannah, but she's not cleared to compete. We wish her well. She was legitimately injured at the time of the tapings. I think she's still got a little bit more time before she comes back. Hopefully she comes back soon. A lot of this match, I could hear the ring squeaking, and that kind of threw me off, but otherwise it was a short match. Lei Ying Li gets most of the offense. Evans goes for the full Nelson bomb, and Lee turns it into Thunderstruck, gets the win. Solid match. Lei Ying Li is back in the win column. What'd you think?
Not mad at it. Just a little surprised that Lei Ying. Oh my God. I know this is like a tongue twister to me.
Yeah, you too.
Lei Ying Li. I'm surprised that she won the way they have been building Savannah Evans. However, not mad at it. If these two women, which are very clear powerhouses, exchange whatever, back and forth, not mad at it. And I think we were talking about this, if not last week or 2 weeks before, how with Grace leaving and Masha at the top of the card, you need, I feel like TNA's always had two muscle women, two big meaty women. And I feel with Lei Ying Li and Savannah Evans, you've got two budding beef brisket stars there. You got your skirt steak right there, baby.
And we talked about this last month or 2 months ago. The ideas that we had were that Savannah Evans would challenge for the Knockouts title at Final Resolution. Uh-huh. Then Lei Ying Li, now I'm doing it.
She's would kicking challenge. Our ass.
It happened to me when we first started talking to her. Anyway, the idea being that Lei Ying Li would then do the Genesis match. Uh-huh. And that might be the end of Masha's title reign, but instead it's not where they're going. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But again, I'm looking forward to the build. Looks like they're putting more into Lei Ying Li than they are Savannah Evans. It's not a bad thing. Savannah has been with the company for long enough that, you know, you just kind of know her place for now. Mm-hmm. Could she challenge for the title at one point? Sure. But as of right now, it felt like the plan is Lei Ying Li and then also Zaya Brookside when she's available again.
Not mad at it as far as like a women's mid card, you know? And I could even see Lee and Evans going for a digital media or the X division if they really wanted to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But who knows? For now, neither of them are challenging for the title.
Right now, they're beefing with each other.
That's fine. Let it happen. Mike Santana's beefing with the Northern Armory. He puts down both members of Sinner and Saint, Judas Icarus and Travis Williams. And then Josh Alexander comes out. The match doesn't cut. It's supposed to be a gauntlet match. Santana versus Northern Armory. Gets two down. Alexander comes in. He starts, but then Sinner and Saint come in and they take out Santana. Alexander gets his headgear back, hits a C4 spike, crowd chants bald ass head. Match itself was actually really good. Santana, it was like a... It was one of those like Santana what's the word I'm thinking of? Showcase matches.
That's literally what I wrote in my notes. Santana showcase.
Yeah, just get your shit in. And he gets all his shit and gets to spin the block. He does the alley-oop into the power bomb. He does the buckle bomb. Like, he does everything. It was great. Sinner and Saint look good in this too, individually. But the main point here is that we're getting Alexander and Mike Santana at Genesis. And like you and I talked about, this is the transference of heart and soul of TNA to Mike Santana when all is said and done. But this match itself, it was good. What do you think of building this gauntlet into what will be the one-on-one match at Genesis?
This match was fine. Only one complaint, and I wrote it down because I was upsetting about this. When Santana was wrestling Travis Williams, I felt we got maybe 1, 2, 3 sequence, then a commercial, and then he got pinned when we got back. Oh, hey, yo, we missed most of that. I mean, granted, we did get Travis in his entirety, but I'm just like, whatever. Also, Josh Alexander, I live for this heel, Josh Alexander. Like, not coming out with them, I was like, oh, I smell a stunt. And then when he did come out just to do the no contest, like, you're a jerk, man. Like, you made this man wrestle these guys for nothing. This is low-key what Moose did to you. What? You're a jerk. I live. This is solid stuff. And I'm happy to be a TNA fan in this moment to watch Josh Alexander, the guy that everyone was ready to cry, pee on themselves, and poop on themselves because he's the heart and soul. Now people call him bald ass head. This is great. I love wrestling.
Bald ass head. Iceman announces the tag title match for the Knockouts tag team titles at Genesis. It's going to be Spitfire, the champions, taking on Ash and Heather by Elegance, or as we call them, the Elegances. Just like we call Alicia and Edward the Edwardses. Anyway, next week they're talking about a pre-match victory party.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Only thing I expect is very pretty outfits.
Yeah, pretty outfits and championship title belts being raised above heads of who knows.
Maybe a champagne bottle getting hit on someone's, because I'm assuming this is the pre-announcement, so they're not having the match. This is just them cutting a promo being jabronis.
I'm all about it. Listen, last week we saw the last shot of the night was the Elegances holding up those Knockouts tag titles, so just do it again.
I mean, at this point, no matter what I feel, it's going to happen. So I'm going to enjoy it. I can't wait for the fashion.
Feel like Spitfire is going to, you know, get the upper hand. And then the Elegances is are going to get the win.
They're going to cheat. Oh, they're going to cheat. Oh, baby. I know these girls are cheaters. They're going to cheat to win.
And I'm all about it. Speaking of Rosemary and cheating, and not, oh, it wasn't Rosemary, but speaking of cheating, Rosemary is at the bar, kind of. She's drinking at a bar, but she's sitting on the bar. She's Rosemary. And she's basically talking to herself, and all of a sudden you hear off out of the corner, like, what are you going to do? And it's Raven, and it rules. And Raven is just, he completely doesn't give a shit, which is my favorite part about Raven. He's like, Are you ready to win the belt? What's it been, like 6, 7, 8 years? And he says win the belt, by the way. He doesn't, none of the WWE talk of like win the championship or earn the title, whatever. It's just win the belt. And then he says it's been what, 6, 7, 8 years? And then Rosemary grabs him and pulls him in close, puts the knife to his neck, and he's just smiling like a psychopath. And he starts like talking about how he, what did he say? It's a good thing I'm taken.
Oh, she puts the knife to his throat and she says something like, I'll slit your throat. So I'll stick it. I don't know what Michelle, he said, but I'm taking it. I can't.
Fantastic. All of this just to do a Ravens, a Clockwork Orange House of Fun match at Genesis between Masha and Rosemary. Honestly, this is fine. I'm glad that they made this a plunder match because otherwise nobody's out here thinking Rosemary's going to dethrone Masha Slamovich. And we know that Masha's really good in hardcore scenarios. So give the people what they want. And it's completely different from the other singles knockout match on the card. So I'm okay with it.
I like these two girls, but you know how I feel about blood. And these two girls will give it up to each other. So to quote Queen, no, 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 no.
It's going to be great.
I assure you this match is going to be fantastic. 10 out of 10 in the Tokyo Dome in Bikini Bottom. But I also know that there's the possibility for blood is 90% and I'm soft. Okay, so this match, two of my faves, but...
You're going to be watching that through your fingers.
Yeah, you already know.
Of course. You're going to be telling us on the post show, just being like, I don't know what happened. All I know is that Masha won and she's bloody.
I opened my eyes and I fainted again. I subsequently missed the next match afterwards.
When I came to, Joe Hendry was champion.
Thankfully in time because I can't woke up. No, forget it. I stuttered too much. The joke is gone. Next segment.
Rascals defeat the Good Hands. Treehouse is better than the trailer park, say the Good Hands. And then they do the sports heat, and it's stupid, but whatever. It's the Good Hands. Shout out to John Skyler, by the way. He's re-signed with TNA, as did Masha, the aforementioned Masha Slamovich, Knockouts World Champion, and Ash by Elegance. Those three appeared with Sean Ross Sapp recently on a little interview because Sean reached out to TNA and was like, hey, I heard these three re-sign. TNA was like, yes. Now interview all three. And so Sean did it. They put them all on screen and they talked. So go check that out over on youtube.com/Fightful. Wentz has his balls crushed by the Good Hands. And that's it. That's the match. Skyler gets hit with a super kick and then the knees. And that's it. The Rascals get another victory en route to the match against the Hardys for the tag team titles at Genesis.
Pecan pie on Trey Miguel's Royal Jewels.
It was Zachary Wentz.
Oh, sorry. Well, pecan pie out of Zachary Wentz's Royal, out of his yam bags. Yeah, sweet potato pie out of his yam bags.
Backstage, Kazarian runs into Rhino. Rhino's getting ready for his match, and he says, hey, maybe I'll cash in this bad boy if you hit a gore on Nick Nemeth. And I'm like, that is hilarious. Just randomly walking up to people who are going to have matches with Nick Nemeth and telling them, hey, if you do the thing, I'll do my thing. Kazarian's a top-tier worker.
He's the best worst uncle in wrestling right now. Just like R-Truth, but for a different reason. For a completely different... At first I hated this, and now I'm like, yo, you're the worst. Keep it up.
Never stop.
Never stop. Looking like an uncle from Spy Kids. I hate it, but I love it. Don't change. This is so good. I hate it. I hate that I like it so much. You got me.
What do you think happens to the scarf afterwards once he cashes in that trophy? What do you think happens to the scarf? Do they keep the scarf for next year?
In my mind, I know it's not going to happen. He wins the title and the belt strap is a scarf.
I mean, he might just tie the scarf to the belt, and I think he will win, by the way.
Like, awesome. Steven Tyler, make it really hippie so you can be super obnoxious. Oh, that'd be the best worst. Oh, can you imagine if he starts thinking like he's a 1990s sex symbol? Oh, do it, Frankie Kazarian. Yes. Do it. Oh, my God. Do it.
Frankie coming out there and trying to sing Love in an Elevator. Oh, let's go.
Oh, my. And with the title, like Shawn Michaels with just the title.
Frankie comes out and he's just like, Frankie's got a gun.
Ooh, Frankie, if y'all come to New York and you do that, I'll give you a dollar.
Hey, he might be the champion when they get to New York in July. Who knows?
Oh, man. And he has to wear the glasses.
Oh, he'll be wearing the glasses. Of course he will.
This is fantastic. Don't book this for nobody else but Crest the Stars. Nobody else. I don't care. Keep it up.
So this next segment is my favorite. Because Moose comes out with Lish, and I'll let you start because it's your favorite part of every episode of Impact.
Do you want to know something?
Just fantastic. Now every time she says it, I think of you.
Honestly, sometimes I just want to walk into a room and do that and have people look at me weird. I'm like, yo, trust the system. They're going to ask me to leave, so I don't.
It's perfect. So he says, Moose says he's going to beat the hell out of Ace Austin at Genesis. They got an X Division title match. And then after everything, he gives Alicia Edwards the X Division title belt and says he's going to debut a new X Division title belt fit for the face of the franchise. So, as is tradition, wrestling fans, when they originally got the spoilers from this event, they thought that Moose was retiring the X Division title and starting a new one. And everyone got up in arms. It was like, oh, are they getting rid of the X Division? And I sat here for weeks online on our Fightful Discord and, of course, on this show. And I was just like, that's not what's happening. He's not getting rid of the X Division title. He's just doing the MJF American title when Ospreay's after the international title. Like, that's all that this is. It's a heat check. Like, it's a heat belt that he's creating. Uh-huh. So anyway, I'm glad to have that be confirmed. It's just a new ugly ass Moose belt to go with Moose's ugly ass shoes from tonight. Those Shrek ass green, whatever those were.
Get him, Joel.
Don't know what that is. Trey Miguel once told me that Moose has the most amount of shoes in TNA, but he doesn't have the fashion of the shoes in TNA. So pretty sure actually Jay Chung also confirmed that once upon a time. So everyone loves to rag on Moose, but everyone seems to just be fine with Moose. I don't know. It's just what it is.
Sometimes you have that one friend. It's like, we love you, but we know what you are. And it's a corn.
Andrew Everett comes out, former Impact Tag Team Champion on his own. Hey, do you know who the tag team champion he was champions with? The wrestler he was tag team champions with?
I don't know that man. I'm so sorry to that man. If I saw that man in the street, I would walk right past him. I don't know that man. I am so sorry to that man.
You would know who the tag champion is.
I don't know who Andrew Everett is.
Oh, no, you don't know who Andrew Everett is, but his tag team champion cohort, his name was DJ Z. You know him now as Joaquin Wilde.
Oh, look at that. I learned something. I'm always learning things on TNA post show.
Well, the giant Andrew Everett, he's 7'4". He challenges Moose to a match for the X Division Championship. By the way, yes, he is 7'4". Don't, cameras are weird. Andrew Everett, he's 7'4".
You know what? You're right. No, you're right. I'm not going to question it.
Yeah. Everett hits a springboard flip to the outside. Moose hits a choke bomb from the top rope from Everett. Everett's on the top rope. Moose hits a choke bomb onto the apron to the floor, then a power bomb onto the ring apron, and then onto the ring. Another one puts the foot on the chest, and those Shrek ass kicks get the three count. Anything you have to add about Moose versus Andrew Everett?
Not really. All I have is it's crazy that Moose would say that the X Division Championship is an ugly ass belt when I distinctly remember you digging in the garbage for the TNA Championship when the Impact Championship, I just think maybe you shouldn't be calling anything an ugly ass belt when people remember you digging in the garbage. That's all I'm going to say.
Damn.
Listen, I just thought it was funny. Moose like his ugly ass. I'm like, yo, what's wrong with the X Division belt? Didn't you really look in the garbage for that TNA belt with that white ass strap and you was unrecognized? People was cooking you for a week. Let me shut up for you, big boot me. Because I'll do the job. I don't care. I'll take the pick.
Santino Marella is in the back looking at videos of raccoons and saying, oh, I didn't know they were so dangerous. You lived in Canada. You know better. You live in Canada. You still do. Anyway, Sami Callihan comes up and says, PCO is eating raw meat in the back. And we should get the winner of the tag title. This is what he said. We should get the winners of the tag title match.
I laughed then too. I'm immature.
This is what it is. And the second that they said that, I had a good cackle because then Santino's like, how about next week? It's Death Meat. That's the name of the tag team that Santino thinks this is with Sammy and PCO versus the Hardys. And he says if Death Meat wins, they're in the tag title match at Genesis. I'm cackling because I know you didn't see this week. Remember how I mentioned Jensen and the GCW show that he thought he was going to cover instead of doing our post show?
Yes.
You know who just got announced to be on that GCW Hammerstein show?
Sami Callihan?
PCO.
Wait.
And the photo of him on the GCW show includes the digital media and the stupid Canadian International Heavyweight Championship belt that he has.
You know, so I guess they're not going and winning against the hard boy.
PCO, when asked, said he couldn't give up working, that he couldn't pass up the opportunity to work Hammerstein. Sure.
I respect it.
Sure. However, he also hasn't been promoting much of the TNA stuff. Okay. Remember, we talked about this. All the talent that had contracts that were coming up at the end of 2024 because that's what TNA typically did, was sign people at the beginning, especially when they were doing the rebrand. PCO was the first rebrand signing announcement. That was October 2023.
True.
When all of these announced contracts were ending, the first thing I said was, PCO was first and he's never been announced as having re-signed. Did he re-sign? I haven't heard anything. I don't know. However, I find it funny that GCW used a promotional photo of him with those TNA digital media championships and then the other whatever one, the Canadian fake one. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's happening with PCO or his contract. I don't know what the expectation is. It could easily be that next week he's going to get written out and that's it. But regardless, this was a hilarious segment to air now, knowing what we know from the week past.
That is pretty funny. I would assume that he would get written off and maybe Death Meat gets a new tag partner or something. Like, they win, but I don't know. I'm not a wrestling writer. I'm just a guy on the internet.
We still have to deal with that 23 bullshit.
I forgot about that. You know what? I don't think if this is, I don't know, man. I don't.
They might just give PCO the deal to come in on the live show and get beat up by Sammy, and then that's it.
Then who's 23?
Sammy Callahan's 23. It's been Sammy the entire time.
My next follow-up question is then why, but then I remember this is wrestling. It doesn't matter why.
It's because Sammy has been playing this guy who really wants the digital media championship. He doesn't care about anything else. He's just cozying up to PCO to give him a false sense of security because every time PCO has a match, he can, you know, he can basically kill his own body off and he'll still win the match. But if he likes you, who knows? But this whole, the whole thing with 23 has always been like, you know, they see it and then Sammy overreacts. He's like, oh, we gotta find them and stop them. And it's like, you just,
Sammy always overreacts, so I overreact. Think
it's genuine. No. This is the overreacting. It was just not, it just hasn't been good. They can easily be something else, and I'll look and I'll be like, okay, that was cute. But like, I just feel like they're gonna write off PCO with 23 and it's gonna be Sammy.
All right. Well, I have nothing to add to that.
Great. Jordynne Grace comes out, challenges Tessa to come face her in the ring like a woman. Tessa shows up, they fight, and the crowd doesn't give a shit. Security ref pull apart. Can't tell you I care about this match happening. Love Jordynne Grace, but the other half just don't care.
Yeah. I mean, what I want, I know is not going to happen. So I watch this, and to quote Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fired. Next segment.
Maybe they should just give her a can of real American beer. That'll go over well.
My mom said, if you have nothing nice to say nothing at all. So I choose to smile in this moment.
Frankie Kazarian joins commentary for the main event. It's Rhino's last match in TNA for the time being. He teams up with Joe Hendry to defeat the Nemeths. Ryan Nemeth is a piece of garbage human being, and it's wonderful. He's cheating behind the back of referee Daniel Spencer, who no doubt was distracted by a shiny object at ringside. Nick Nemeth is acting like he's got no idea, but what did they do? They referenced and acknowledged JBL.
Finally, he said, Joe Hendry, I think he said, Joe Hendry would have won if it wasn't for JBL and then you being the special guest referee at one point on commentary. Why don't you look at your notes, Cresta? That's why you take notes, so you don't have to think with your fucking lizard brain.
I am the lizard queen.
What was that? The little lizard told her. It's late. Leave me alone.
Audio crowd just got very confused.
I'm not going to give you the ASMR on the audio because I think that's going to be way weird. You guys are fantastic. Thank you for listening to us.
Don't lick your microphone.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
So they acknowledge JBL, and they also acknowledge that Santino has a lack of input when it comes to the JBL stuff. And that was kind of brought to everyone's attention at first, but it hasn't been talked about again. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in Dallas for this pay-per-view. JBL will almost certainly be there because it's an actual pay-per-view, not a special, not an AJ Francis main event. It's going to be an actual storyline match that they have. So JBL will be there, and I'm sure that they'll do something with it. But regardless, I do appreciate that they actually acknowledged the JBL story and that Santino has been involved as well. Rhino gores Ryan Nemeth. It's a lot of R's in that sentence. Nick retaliates with a super kick. They go to the outside. Henry's alone with Ryan in the ring. Hits a big old standing ovation for the win. And that's how we finish the night.
I really got nothing for that, except I saw the look on Nick Nemeth's face at the end, like, oh, okay, Joe. I want them to finally explain something with this JBL. I feel like it needs to pay off now. To quote Joel Pearl, I'm tired of getting honey dicked with Joel Hendry. So I hope everything pays off, or at least begins to pay off, at Genesis, where we get the ball rolling and we get more storylines furthered, or at least a Nemeth heel turn. Come on.
I have made it. I have said it that I think Hendry should win at Genesis. Mm-hmm. I think that whoever he faces at Sacrifice in March, after that match, Kazarian should cash in. I think Kazarian should carry the title into July to Slammiversary. They could do later than that, because I mean, March through May, they could have him win it, you know, before. But I think Kazarian should have the world title going into Slammiversary, and that's the crowning moment for Mike Santana. Santana, kid from New York, big moment. You got UBS Arena. He went to UBS when they did the ticket on sale. Like, he's been around the arena. I think it's time. And you don't want to do Santana versus Hendry for the title.
Oh, nah.
That's not going to be a good... That's not... It's not the match.
Yeah, no, I could see Hendry versus Nemeth. Even if JBL interferes, you have Kazarian cash in somehow and do some swervy-dervy stuff.
I don't even know what you do with the Nemeth at that point. Once Nick drops the title, maybe they let him go take a little bit of time off, come back whenever. I don't know. But for me, for my money, Santana getting the moment at UBS, and he beats Frankie Kazarian. And Frankie and Santana have had some matches and some good ones at that. They've mm-hmm. got it. There is opportunity there. As for Hendry, I don't know who he would face in July, but you would easily find someone. Moose. That's a big deal. You could do Moose.
He got the X Division. He could, like, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say Hammerstone or Jake something, but they're in a tag team together. They're Hammer something right now. So, I mean, not Jake something. Moose could see someone he doesn't want to wrestle, but I'm going to go fight Joe Hendry. He sucks. Or I'm going to go fight, I'm a cheese Santana after a hard fought match, fighting someone like a Jake something or a Steve Macklin, where they're really going to give it to Santana. And at the end, Moose is going to do what Moose does. I'm cashing in, pal.
I still think Moose is going to ultimately drop the title to Leon Slater.
I don't hate that.
That's been kind of out there, out there. It's like, what's Leon Slater going to do as he builds towards his biggest moment? That's kind of what I see there, but that's July. So who knows? Yeah.
Don't hate it.
That's TNA Impact for January 9th. My robot vacuum just decided to wake itself up, so I'm going to go stop it. Crystal, what you got going on for yourself this week?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you so much for being here. As always, I'm here every Thursday, myself and the beautiful, illustrious Joel Pearl go on right after the beautiful people at the ROH show. And every Saturday, or most Saturdays, you can find me here on Fightful Again, going over collision with the beautiful Iridian and the handsome Rick. Wednesdays, you can find me over on my personal channel, Cresta Star, on Twitch.tv and TikTok, as long as it's still around in the U.S. I'll be live there as well. And there's something else I'm forgetting to promote, but I cannot. Oh, I just did a recasting with Kate, where we recast everyone from Wicked as wrestling fans, and I did it in drag as Barbara from Shipping. It's quite funny, and I committed to the bit. So you should definitely go and check it out. Outside of that, follow me on social media. Anywhere you can type Crest the Star. I'm on Blue Sky. You're fantastic. Your butt looks nice. I hope you find $20 on the floor. Joel Burrow, where can the people find you, and what you got going on?
There's no money on the floor. What happened?
Listen, I said I hope. I'm not Miss Cleo. I'm not a soothsayer. I'm not Seth Rollins. I'm not a visionary.
was the worst. The robot vacuum probably sucked it up. I go in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talk about the world of wrestling, and we get weird. We just do. But it's a morning show, so everything you expect to happen, it happens there. Crest and I are live every Thursday here on this channel to talk about TNA, and we'll be live on the 19th, that is a Sunday night, to talk about TNA Genesis. Steven Jensen will join us. That will be fun. We'll be all having a ball, and so will you. So, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.